Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these words be yours and bless. Make yourself useful. Ever hear that in your life growing up?
No.
The phrase directed to you? What were you doing at the time? Or maybe I should ask, what were you not doing? Because that phrase usually has a directive kind of clause that follows immediately after. Make yourself useful and set the table. Make yourself useful and hand me that wrench. Make yourself useful and take the dog for a walk. Make yourself useful and get your old man a beer. The implication is that useful is what you currently are not. But you can be useful, that is. A change is required. That right now you are out of service. But you can definitely be in service. And it is probably good in life to strive to be useful, as in full of use. And it's kind of neat that that phrase is used as a play on words in this epistle lesson to Paul's letter to Philemon, the heart of which is its meaning. Oh, look at that letter. It's short and it's personal. And Philemon, which comes towards the end of your New Testament, is probably the only undeniably authentic letter of Paul to an individual human being, as opposed to an entire congregation. And yet, since it has some salutations and blessings to a bunch of other people and to the church there as a whole, it probably was a letter sent to one person that was meant to be shared with all. So we're really okay reading somebody else's mail here. But let me set the context. Paul was in prison, or at least under some sort of house arrest in chains, imprisoned along with several of his co-workers in the gospel. And he writes to this Philemon, a wealthy, influential leader of a house church somewhere, scholars assume maybe Colossae, asking for a favor. But a favor not for himself, one for a slave. One of Philemon's own slaves. One of his own slaves that had run away. One of his own slaves that had run away and may or may not have stolen some money in the process. Now this slave, whose name is Onesimus, which in Greek translates as profitable or useful, which is a really good name if you were a slave to be called useful. This Onesimus had somehow, in running away, found his way to Paul's side, even in prison. And he was serving him very well. In fact, so much that Paul had grown to love him as his own son. And so he writes, I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my very own heart, to you now. That's right. This letter, begging for the release of a slave, is actually being delivered and delivered by that very slave to his master, who he has wronged, who would have every right and perhaps a lot of obligation to punish this slave very severely. Now, unfortunately, in this letter, Paul doesn't really address the injustice of slavery at all. In fact, he's a product of his times, and slavery just went on. It was the way of life. But here, he appeals to Philemon's faithfulness, his reputation for great generosity, and his love of Jesus, all the while reminding him that he owes Paul for his very salvation. And Paul asks Philemon to forgive and receive Onesimus, not as a slave any longer, but as a brother. To receive and forgive him as he would receive and forgive Paul himself. And Paul has even agreed put his money where his mouth is to pay for any expenses or costs that that slave had accrued to his former master. And then he quits. Formerly, Onesimus, useful, was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. Now, truthfully, we don't know what Philemon's response was to Paul's request. However, since this epistle did manage to make itself its way into Holy Scripture, we can probably infer that Philemon actually did what Paul asked. Maybe he considered it an offer he couldn't refuse. And there's also this interesting historical footnote that around 100 AD, when the Christian martyr Ignatius was writing all these letters about his upcoming execution, he refers to the bishop of Ephesus, one of the most powerful towns in the Christian world, as being a former slave named Onesimus. And it's the same person. That's indeed being useful. But we come back to this phrase, make yourself useful. I think this is interesting that it comes up today on Labor Day weekend. Labor Day, our national holiday that celebrates work by telling everyone to not work. In fact, it's probably the only Sunday in the entire year where churches across the board, across denominations, don't schedule a thing. In fact, pastors and staff are usually surprised to see anybody show up this weekend at all. We can change and juggle the times around even, and the people still come up right. But the fascinating nature of the origins of Labor Day is really cool. Congress passed legislation instituting that as a national holiday in 1894. And at the time, the average worker in an American factory, the work week for an American factory was 100 hours. Translated, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the sponsor of the bill, the senator from Connecticut, said, it's all about the American worker. Not what he does, but who he is. And yet it would take another half century before the 8-hour a day, 40-hour work week was made standard. And even today, our fixture, our focus is usually on the does part, not the is part. And after all, the first question we usually ask of somebody when we first meet them is what? What do you do? Not what makes you tick or what you like. It's as if one's usefulness is what matters most. Maybe it does. But I really like the way Jeremiah sees it. No one can make themselves useful. But God can. God literally tells his prophet to look and see that firsthand. Go to the pottery shed. Watch what that guy does. I'm in control like that. I am the potter, you are the clay. If I want to punish you, I can. If I want to save you, I will. Now, most of us are pretty ready and eager to have God save us. But how ready and eager are we to let ourselves be formed by him? Are we malleable clay in his hands, or are we hardened, resistant, brittle lumps? Dictating to God how and when and where he should use us. Like if that's going to work. For Jeremiah, being useful, being full of use, was letting God use you in his ways, letting him mold you, fashion you into his image for his purposes. Even if, maybe especially if, that molding and fashioning makes something of us we weren't really expecting. Remember Sherry Lewis? She just have these puppets, and one of them was Lamb Chop. Oh, that's really dates me. I was really little. But Lamb Chop had this song that I always loved, and she goes, "I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, there is my..." Oh, I'm nuts. I'm a sugar bowl. Did that God do that? "Here's my plans. Here's where I'm sending you. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want you to do for me." That's what happened in this tiny little letter, all those concerned. God forms him and refashions him according to his purpose. For Onesimus, he truly becomes full of use. He found his true self, no longer a slave of Philemon, but a disciple of Christ Jesus, his earthly Lord, letting him serve the risen Lord. For Philemon, it was a challenge to show love and acceptance with that same counterintuitive cost that God shows in loving and accepting us. And for Paul, old man that he says he is, he sees the gospel actually taking root. Despite time and distance, cultural expectations, and human pride, that he can watch the grace of his Lord and Savior transforming hearts and lives. So that's my message for you this day. You know, Labor Day is the time for us to give thanks to God for our jobs, for what it is we do. But you know, it's also a reminder and a prompt that only in him can we be truly useful. Whether we are employed, unemployed, or underemployed, whether we love our jobs or not, whether our employer appreciates us or uses us, whether we feel empowered or powerless, whether we have much or have little, whether we show up in church on this weekend or not, anytime, anywhere, we can be full of use. Because no matter what we do or where we find ourselves, Christ has called and equipped us to serve him in all that we do and all that we are, fashioning us in his own image. So, I say, make yourselves useful and let God get his hands on you. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, minds, in Christ Jesus.